Welcome to I'll Have Another. I'm Lindsay, your host, and I'm so happy that you are joining us today. If you are a first-time listener, thank you for coming. And if you've been listening for a while and you're coming back for another, thank you for coming back. I really appreciate it. This is a show where I talk to motivating and inspiring women who will encourage you in whatever you're doing while you listen to this show, whether you're running, you're doing laundry, you're cleaning the house, you're driving in the car, whatever you do. I just hope you have this time to enjoy and hear these inspiring conversations. Today, you are listening to episode 13, and we are talking to Jamie Ivey. I was so excited about this interview. Jamie is the host of the popular podcast, The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. I started listening to her show last summer on stroller runs with my boys, and she really encouraged me to take the steps to go ahead and start my own show. As I would listen to her, I would think, I want to do this. I want to host a show. I want to talk about some different things than she talks about, but I think it would be a blast. And she just gave me the motivation to go on and do it myself. So thank you, Jamie, and thank you for coming on the show. Today, we talk about Jamie's podcast, of course, The Happy Hour, her experience with both domestic and international adoption, and advice she has for those who could be interested in pursuing that path for their own family. We also talk about some awesome companies doing great work and selling great products. I had a blast talking to Jamie. She's so real and down to earth, and I felt like I was just talking to the person that I listen to each week on The Happy Hour. Here is my weekly effort to get you all to rate and review the show. Would you do that for me? Have you done it yet? I want to tell you something. I could not figure out how to do it from my phone, and I had a lot of people tell me that. So my little sister figured it out, and I'm going to step you through it right now. So if you're a subscriber to the show, you still have to go to your podcast app, and you have to search I'll Have Another with Lindsay Hine Podcast. So do that. And then there's three little boxes at the top. It says All, Podcast Episodes, and Podcasts. Go to Podcasts, and then click on I'll Have Another with Lindsay Hine. And then in the middle there, you'll see details, reviews, and related. Go ahead and click on reviews. And then down below, you'll have the option to write a review. That's all. That's all you have to do. It's that simple. And I couldn't figure it out at first either, so I totally understand if you couldn't. And then on iTunes from your computer, it's super simple. So, like I say, it is the best way for people who might not know about us to find us. The more ratings and reviews, you guys, it's science. I don't know. iTunes has this algorithm. I can't explain it to you. I'm not smart enough to do that. But what I'm saying is the more ratings and reviews you have, the more likely people who are interested in this kind of topic will find the show. So Run Disney Susie, thank you so much. Each episode is unique. You feel like you are listening to friends chat about life. It is a great balance between fun topics and meaningful topics. I always find myself laughing and being inspired, and it makes the miles fly. Thank you, Susie. Joe Towns. It seems like Lindsay has been doing this for a year. Her grace combined with laissez-faire interview style puts the interviewee at ease and allows for a robust, candid discussion. This is an automatic every week. Bravo. Thank you so much, Joe. I really appreciate that. And I appreciate that you appreciate my laissez-faire interview style, because let's be honest, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just having fun talking to friends. So that's why it's so laissez-faire. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening to the show, and let's get started talking with Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I'm great.
Thanks for coming on the show. I'm so excited. So I started listening to your show last summer, a girl on Facebook that I'm not even really friends with. You know, you're friends with people, but you're not on Facebook.
Yes, yes, yes.
She posted, here are three things I'm loving, and I've been listening to The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey, and she pulled that from your show. And she listed, like, this red apothic wine that now I love.
Uh-huh.
And your show, and then I forget what her other thing that she loved was. So that's when I started checking you out, and I started listening to you on runs. So I'm a big runner.
Yay.
And I push my kids in the stroller a lot, so I would just put your show on and just put the phone on top of the stroller. So my kids probably recognize your voice too.
I'm sure they do. That's hilarious. Well, I'm glad that you're running. I should be running. But thank you to your friend too for sharing the happy hour.
Yeah, I was so excited about it. And it's really the first podcast that, so I started when everybody else started with Serial, you know?
Of course, yes.
Uh-huh. Right. And your show, though, was the first show that it was like, okay, I feel like I'm part of the conversation. And that's really what inspired me to start my show, because I pictured myself doing the same thing that you're doing, but talking about different kinds of things.
Yeah.
So I'm like really into running and stuff like that. So my show has a big focus on that. But I have heard you talk about running a couple times.
Well, I was about to just brag on myself for just a second.
Okay. Do it, please.
You're talking about running. This is funny to me, but did you know, here's a small random fact about me, is that I actually ran in the Junior Olympics when I was younger.
No, I did not know that.
I know. I ran competitively up until about ninth grade.
Oh my gosh.
I know. And we placed third in our division in the mile relay.
Oh my goodness. That's crazy. So why did you stop?
Well, the reason I stopped in high school is because I had been running competitively for about 4 years, and it was very intense. And I think if my parents could do it all over again, they might not have pushed us that hard, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I just really lost focus, and it wasn't as fun, and I started liking boys and just kind of gave up on that, which I look back, and I like to say I don't have regrets, but I do wish. I think I could have ran track in college, you know. And so,
yeah.
But then I ran as an adult, and I've done a couple half marathons. I always had a goal to do a full. Mm-hmm. But, man, I have a really bad lower back, and I think I could with therapy, and, like, all my friends are telling me about these doctors that put all this tape on them and all kinds of stuff. But my back always hurts. Mm. So that's why I quit running.
Yeah. And that's the one thing I feel like when people say bad back, bad knees, bad hips, it's kind of like, well, you don't want to play with fire too much.
Yeah. And I'll like get in my head. I'm like, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to run because I do love running. Mm-hmm. But I'm also the kind of person that's like, I run to race. And so like my husband just goes out for a jog. He doesn't time himself. He doesn't track how far he went. To me, the other day I was out walking and my phone cut off, and so I couldn't track how far I went. I went home. Like I really was like, what's the point? If you can't track, if you went further than the day before. So I have always trained to run a race. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of hard for me now to view it as just, hey, it's good for your body.
Just exercise.
Just exercise. I know. So like I'm having to retrain my brain.
I have a lot of fun doing it just for exercise because I am competitive too with myself. And so anytime I am pregnant and making a baby, I'm like, I don't have to work hard. I can just run for fun and I really enjoy it. So
that's good for you.
Yes, I know. So you guys live in Austin. Can you tell everybody, like, who is Jamie Ivy, a little bit about your family and what you do?
Yeah, we live in Austin, Texas. We've been here for almost 8 years. Before that, we lived outside of Nashville in a city or town. I don't know what's the difference. I don't know. Called Murfreesboro. And so Middle Tennessee State is there. And we lived there for 5 years. And before that, we lived outside of Houston in Sugar Land. And that's where we met and got married. So we've almost been married 15 years. My husband, Aaron, is the worship pastor here at a church called the Austin Stone Community Church. And I do a podcast, and we're both writing books, and we have 4 kids. My oldest is in 6th grade and my youngest is in 2nd. And so we just do life here, and we think this is the best place to live, and we love it. So that's who we are. That's who I am.
Well, I have to tell you, I went to Austin for the first time in December.
And did you love it?
I did. I went with 5 girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And we stayed at a friend of a friend's, and yeah, we did the whole, oh gosh, I'm not going to remember like the streets and whatever,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Is 4th Street a thing? I don't know.
4th Street is a thing. I mean, there is a 4th Street.
But the people we stayed with, they turned us on to like breakfast tacos. It was like we had to eat that every day.
Yes. Where do you live, Lindsay?
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay. Oh, I was in Indianapolis twice in the past 2 years, and y'all have a cute little town.
Oh, thanks. What were you here for?
The Influence Conference.
Oh, yeah. You probably stayed downtown, I'm assuming.
We did. We did, yeah. But then we walked around, and yeah, it was great.
Aw, thanks.
But Austin, I'm glad you got breakfast tacos, because that is a thing, and we are very proud of them.
Oh, yes. And I love on your show, you always talk about how proud you guys are of your little town.
Yes, I know. It probably is annoying to people, but we love it here.
How far outside of Austin do you live?
So yeah, we just moved in December. Okay. We live still. We're excited. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, but we're excited that we still have an Austin address.
Okay. No, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds weird, but we really did. It wasn't going to make us not buy a house here. But we were like, oh, yay, this is an added-on bonus. It takes us probably about 20 minutes to get to downtown.
Okay.
So, I mean, but you know what? I lived closer mileage-wise before, but it could take me that long because of traffic. Uh-huh. So, we're almost to Dripping Springs, which if it's from this area, they'll know what that means. So.
Okay. So, you started the happy hour how long ago?
May. Here we are. We're in May, two years ago.
2 years. Okay. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
So when what inspired you to start it, and you know, what's the difference between then and now, kind of?
The difference is a lot. So long story short, about 5 years ago, I worked in radio for a very short amount of time. I won a contest here in Austin, and then I ended up being an on-air morning DJ person for a couple months and loved it. And so that kind of sparked this new thing in me, this interest to talking to people and having a voice and all that kind of stuff. And so then fast forward a couple years, I was on a friend's podcast. And it's called The Inspired Action Show. And I was on that show, and I remember getting done, and I thought, I think I could do this. Which I think now so many people are listening to podcasts, and podcasts have been around for a while, but Serial just kind of put it on the map. Mm-hmm. And then our phones, if you have an iPhone, they added the podcast app that comes with your operating system. So a lot of those things happened, and everyone started listening to them. So I hear people all the time say the same thing to me. They're like, I've loved your show for so long, and I thought I could do this. And I'm like, yes, you can. Let's do it. So I just kind of jumped in about 2 years ago. And for me, I recommend if you're going to start a show, you know, plan it, research, get your stuff together, and then jump in. I just kind of jumped in not knowing how long am I going to do this. This is fun. And so I learned a lot as I went.
Uh-huh.
I probably should have not started for about 6 months, but okay. I did, and it is what it is. So I always laugh. If you go back and listen to early shows, the audio sometimes is really awful, but I just went for it. And so 2 years ago. So what's changed? I feel a lot more comfortable with the show. I kind of know more where I'm going, what I'm doing. I plan out ahead of time, whereas at the beginning, I was just like, I don't know. Will you be on my show? Sure. Okay, here we go. But I love it. It's truly the most favorite thing I've done in the past couple of years.
Well, you said, I don't know if I saw you post this on social media or you said it on your podcast, but one time you were kind of just like, if you want to do it, though, just do it. Like, don't just sit and think about it forever, you know? And I had kind of been doing that. And so this January, I was like, okay, I'm figuring this out. And, you know, the hardest thing for me was the whole tech side of things. I knew nothing.
Me too. I mean, I'm getting through it, but I'm still learning new stuff all the time. And I have someone that helps me now, which is another different thing, you know, that I didn't have the ability or the luxury to do that then. I know whenever I tell people about starting the show, I'm just one big oxymoron because I'm like, plan ahead, know what you're going to do, research, but just do it, you know, because you can't, neither one of them, they both need each other, but you can't sit around it forever. If you're going to do it, you just have to do it.
Right. You have to start. Well, and that's what I started doing. My husband was like, just start recording episodes and like start figuring things out along the way, but get something recorded so that when you figure it out, like you can put something out.
You're ready. Yeah, that's good.
So can you explain your show to everybody a little bit in case you're going to get some new listeners here?
Oh, I would love new listeners. Yeah, it's called The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. And when I was thinking about creating a show, I wanted to create something that kind of replicated my life. And so I thought, when I meet up with my girlfriends for a happy hour or coffee, whatever it might be, or a play date at the park, whatever, what do our conversations look like? And so for me, our conversations sometimes are very deep. And then in a moment's notice, they're kind of shallow. And we talk about, you know, our favorite TV show, to what we're reading, to something really huge in our life that's impacted us. And so I kind of thought, I want a show that does that. I want to bring a girlfriend on, and I just want to talk with her. My husband, who does listen more now than he ever has before, but when I first told him the idea, he was like, who would want to listen to that? Like, that just sounds awful to me. And I think he's right, because my men listenership is pretty low, you know, like what man wants to listen to that? But I do find, like you said, when you started listening to Happy Hour, that you felt like you're part of the conversation. And so that's one of the biggest feedbacks I get, is people are just like, I feel like I'm with you. And I'm like, that's the best compliment ever, because I wish you could be with me. So that's kind of what I wanted, and I feel that's what we're doing. So that's the happy hour.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because I did listen to the episode with your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he mentioned his favorite episode, and you kind of gave him a hard time, like, does he really listen or whatever? And I'm on my fourth week now, and just last week my husband hadn't listened to an episode yet. I mean, he's my biggest supporter as far as, like,
right,
retweeting me and spreading the word and cheering me on.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, honestly, like, you should probably listen to one or two. And it's almost like you think he's – I feel like – he knows you so well that when you talk, he's thinking, oh, I know what she's thinking now. And
for sure. Yeah.
But now he's listened to two of the nine that I've put out. So he's getting there.
Oh, he's getting there. Yeah. That's great.
That's so funny. So you also speak at events. Did that come on after the podcast, or were you doing that before?
You know, I've been doing that for a while. I would say that it's gotten I've been doing it for a while at smaller events. I've really been honored the past couple of months to get some requests for some larger events. And I really do enjoy speaking. I love encouraging women. I love teaching the Bible. I love doing all of those things. And so speaking and teaching, when I'm on the stage, I love it. It is just, it brings me so much joy. I feel like I'm in my sweet spot. Preparing for those moments are hard for me. It's like work. It is hard work for me. I have some friends that, like, they can create talks and all kinds of stuff, and then in just like no time, I'm like, oh my gosh. So I would say that the podcast has helped open up a lot of doors, for sure, for sure, for sure. But we brought our kids home from Haiti about 6 years ago that we adopted, and it was after then that people started kind of following our blog a little bit more, and so then some things started to open up. But the show definitely has opened up more doors, which has been great. I love it.
So can you tell everybody a little bit about your adoption story then?
Yeah, my husband, like I said, we've been married almost 15 years, and we had our first child biologically. We'd been married about a year and a half. It was a big, fat surprise and wasn't in our plan at all, but God has always been faithful to us through that. And then when my oldest son was about 7 months old, we were surrounded by people at our church that were adopting. And so it was something that kind of, we really just felt like God was asking us to kind of look into. And so we did, and that led us to our domestic adoption. And our son Deacon, we were there when he was born. We have an open relationship with his first mom, and he's 10 and a half. And so when Deacon and Caden, we had our two boys, and then I just kept feeling like we were supposed to have more kids, and Aaron didn't feel that way at all, so we had a little bit of tension in our family there for a while, but eventually he did start to feel that way, and that's when we started to adopt our kids that were born in Haiti. And our son Amos was about a little over two when we first started pursuing to adopt him. And then our daughter was newborn. Just some random circumstances with her family in Haiti led us to her. And then it was a 2.5 year process where we would go down and visit them every other month. One of us would go. And then Story joined our family in October of 2009. And then Amos finally came home in January of 2010. And so we've been a family of six for 6 years. And we feel great. I knew as soon as they came home that we were complete. It was great.
I watched the adoption video of you guys bringing Amos home on your website, and I was like sitting in the living room crying, of course. My husband looks in, and he knows that if that's the case, it's like I'm watching some sort of adoption video,
right,
or like, you know, and he just kind of walks away.
Yeah.
But your interview with Shay Scholl.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about their adoption and how her husband wasn't ready too, and how she kind of just said, or they just decided to stop talking about it, and they both prayed about it separately, and it ended up, you know, he felt like he wanted to do the same.
Yeah.
I have always just kind of been pulled to adoption. Mm-hmm. I don't know, just something in my heart. I just feel like it's something I want to do in my life, but I'm kind of in that situation where I don't know that my husband would be ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'm scared, you know?
Yeah. That's valid.
Yeah. What advice do you have to someone, not someone who's trying to persuade their husband to do something.
For sure, yeah.
But just someone who's feeling like, this is something I feel like I'm supposed to do in my life, but it's scary to me.
Yeah, I totally get that for sure. When Aaron and I, were first bringing up the idea of adding a third child to our family, like I said, I was very convinced that that was in our future, and he was very convinced that it wasn't. I would come to him and I would say, listen, like, my mom heart is not full. And he would say, well, my dad heart is full, you know, like something's got to give. And so I was very nagging and persistent and always pulling up statistics and websites. And it really was a huge source of tension in our marriage. And so finally I decided I'm just going to drop it. Kind of like what when Shay talked about that on the show, it was really, I remembered those moments because I just decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to let it go. I'm just going to pray. And I prayed something that I've prayed a handful of times in our marriage. And I just prayed, God, would you either change his heart or change mine? But will you bring us together? And I think I was fully 100% telling God, you can change my heart. I mean, I don't have to give him permission. He's God. But, you know, I was fully like surrendering that kind of to him and saying, if it's me, then you have to change my heart because I feel so strongly about this, that the only way my heart will change if it's from you. And I mean, I knew that my husband felt very strongly about not having any more kids. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that it was going to be a work of God. And so I literally just shut up and prayed for God to change one of us. And it was about 9 months later that out of the blue, I mean, literally, I remember where we were. We were at Camp Tejas in Giddings, Texas. Aaron was leading worship there. And he told me, he said, I think I'm ready for us to add to our family. And my first thought was like, okay, well, I'm ready. I'm going to contact agencies and da-da-da. But we took it slower. I mean, it was a couple of months before we started doing anything. But that's my encouragement always to women who feel that, hey, I think this is something that's in our path for our parenting. And I feel like that this is maybe something that God is pressing on my heart. But my husband doesn't. My advice always is to not nag him because that's not going to do anything. But my advice always is to like really pray and ask God to bring your hearts together. And I mean, and we've had to do that several different seasons in our marriage about different things, not even involving children, you know, is really asking God to bring your hearts together. And I'm confident that he will, you know, I'm not confident how fast it will be.
Right.
But I'm confident that he's going to do that for you. So.
Well, and I like you. I also listened to the interview on you did with the Archibald Project, and I listened to your interview with them and then them interviewing you. We actually listened to that in the car yesterday on the way up to visit my in-laws. And
the one where I was on their show?
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. The most recent one.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. And my husband listened to it too. My kids, well, they were like half sleeping, half not. So they recognized your voice, I'm sure.
There you go. Yes.
But I like what they're doing because I like that they're saying, you know, adoption isn't the only way you can be a part of caring for orphans, you know?
Yeah, I'm such a fan of what they're doing. And I believe that after walking through the world that we walked through and seeing adoption process and seeing just the devastation in the country of Haiti, just because that's what I know, is adoption is not the answer for all of these children. I mean, of course it is for some of them, but for most of them, the answer is helping them help their families survive. You know, family preservation is like the best thing that we could do in our world. It's the best thing that we could do for orphans, is orphan prevention. And so I'm a big fan of all that they're doing. Of course, I'm not against adoption at all.
Right.
I mean, three of my kids came to our family via adoption. You know, so I will say I'm glad I know what I know now. I know more than I knew then. And so I love the fact that people can get beside organizations that are helping do stuff like that. And it doesn't mean that they are adding kids to their family. It means that they're actually just pursuing helping kids stay with their families that they're already with.
Well, and actually interview where you interviewed,
Whitney.
The gal's name? Whitney. Okay.
Whitney.
With the Archibald Project. I didn't realize that there was issues even at all, that kids were being adopted and they actually still had their parents there.
Yeah.
You know, and when
crazy,
you guys
isn't
said,
it?
Yeah. And I guess I kind of thought it could have been an issue, but I didn't realize how big of an issue that was. I mean, that's really sad.
Yeah. And I would have never known that was an issue. I mean, I didn't even realize that was an issue, you know, 5 years ago. I think I mentioned this in that show, but a really good book I read recently by Sarah Brenton is called In Defense of the Fatherless.
Okay.
And Sarah's not anti-adoption either. She has a daughter that she's through adoption. But her book, she really wants to kind of showcase what's happening around the world that sometimes we can turn a blind eye to. And so it's a really good book, In Defense of the Fatherless, Redeeming International Adoption and Orphan Care.
Okay. I will definitely put that in the show notes. I already have like 5 things to put in the show notes.
Yay.
But when you guys were adopting Amos, the earthquake in Haiti happened like 10 days before he came home, right?
Yes. So we had been in the process for 2.5 years, and then the earthquake hits. And so his paperwork, he's not done. The longest stories ever of things that it takes to get things done in Haiti. When we were doing this 6 years ago, I don't have any idea what it's like now. But he just wasn't, his paperwork wasn't complete. We actually had no idea when he was coming home. And then the earthquake hit, and they did something called humanitarian parole, which is where kids that were far enough in the process, they would let them come home and finish their adoption stateside. Because in Haiti, in the Haitianides, the Haiti government, we were his family and we had been his parents for a long time. We were waiting on the U.S. side. Mm. That was our holdup for the whole time, was not the whole time, but most of it for the U.S. side. And so that's how he was able to come home, and then we could complete his adoption here.
So, but you had been back and forth visiting him several times.
Oh, yeah, lots of times. For 2 years. Mm-hmm.
And then, I originally thought he and Story were biologically related, mm-hmm. but they're not, right?
They're not, and a lot of people think that because they lived together since she was born.
Okay.
But they're not biologically related.
Oh, and when I was listening to the Archibald interview, when you were saying how she was only, 2 or 2.5, but when he came home, she was, like, so excited to see him.
Oh, the best. I mean, she came home almost a month shy of her second birthday. And so they were separated for 3 months exactly. And she had been with him since she was born, you know? And so when she came home, she would see pictures of him around our house and get super excited. But I can only imagine what in her brain was going on with, mm-hmm. where is Amos, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when we brought him home, I mean, looking at pictures, she is just giddy with excitement. Even, I think that you might have even seen it in the video that mm-hmm. you watched, is mm-hmm. that she was just, I mean, beyond excited to see him. It was really special.
Oh, that is so sweet.
I should remind them of that when they're
when they're fighting.
Like, watch this video. You love him so much.
Yeah, when they're just being brother and sister.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have a lot of friends, though, it sounds like, that have children through adoption, right? Is that, how important is that, do you think?
You know, it's been really important for us. We've been blessed with that. Our church has really had so many families that have adopted internationally, domestically. A lot of families in our church go through the foster system. And so we are surrounded with people who have brought kids into their family through adoption. And I think it's good for me as a mom. It helps me know that things we're going through aren't mm-hmm. weird or abnormal, and we can talk about things in a safer environment than I could with, you know, people who haven't walked through those shoes. Mm-hmm. And I really think it's good for my kids too. I don't know that they've actually expressed that it's good, but I do hope that as they look back over their childhood, they'll remember how many families they were surrounded by that look like them, you know? And so they're not alone, in a sense.
Yeah. I think, and this is just me being totally honest about my fear of adoption, of adopting myself and our family, is I kind of feel like, so I have 2 sons. I have a 3.5-year-old and a 15-month-old. And I'm crazy because I'm pregnant with our 3rd. Mm-hmm. I think part of me is like, I don't have my crap together anyway as it is. And I have days where I'm pulling my hair out and frustrated as it is. What business do I have putting myself out there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a real fear, but just to encourage you is I don't have my crap together either. And I've been parenting for 12 years and been an adoptive mom, you know, for 10. So I don't think I have my crap together either. And I don't think we ever will. And so for me, you know, it's just a lot easier to know that I don't have to have my stuff together to be a parent or to be an adoptive parent. I mean, now on one hand, it is different mm-hmm. than just bringing home a biological child from the hospital. So there is that. And so I just always encourage people, you know, find counseling, find programs, find people that have been through those shoes so that you can kind of get a feel of what that might be like. But, man, if everybody had to have their stuff together before they did anything, no one would be married. No one would have kids. No one would have a job.
Well, that's what I always say, because I always feel like I have friends that say, oh, they're not ready to have kids or whatever. And I'm like, well, if you waited till you were ready, till you had enough money, till you had enough this, till you had enough that, you would never have kids. You're never going to be ready, right?
Right.
So, okay, I asked you about Supper Club, and so you had a post on Instagram, a picture of your group, and I, for some reason, thought it said it was your last Supper Club.
I know. I don't know why. I don't know what post I had.
So, okay, so tell everybody what Supper Club is.
So Supper Club is, this is what Supper Club is to us. I'm sure there's a thousand different ways that it could be, but there are four couples, no, five, one, two, four couples, and I was just having a moment of five. No, there's just four of us. There's four couples, and we, in theory, would get together every month at some one of the couple's house and have dinner. We set it up at the very beginning that whoever is hosting literally does all the work. They cook, they clean, they do everything. The other people just show up with wine. And then we eat. In our supper club, you got to bring your A game to the table. Like, you can't be bringing, like, roast and mashed potatoes unless it's, like, the best roast and mashed potatoes that's ever been invented. Which I don't know why I said roast and mashed potatoes, because that's really, really good. But you know what I mean? Like, you got to bring, we have some cooks in our supper club.
You're not having Subway platters.
No, there's no sandwich platters here. So that's what we do. And, you know, in theory, we would meet once a month, but we have some pretty crazy schedules in our supper club. And so I would say that we probably meet six times a year.
Okay.
And so we're going this summer on our third supper club vacation. So that's fun.
Ooh, that's really fun.
I know, it's just like a week of supper clubs because we take turns cooking and all that kind of stuff. All the kids go, which between the two of all of us, we've got like 16 or 17 kids.
Wow.
And so it's a lot of fun. Yeah. So that's our supper club.
So ever since I heard you guys talking about it, I'm like, I want to do this. I want to do this, but I want it to be with the right people, you know, people that I'm going to laugh with, but people that are going to be uplifting. And I love that the people that come, you leave your kids at home.
Right? Oh, yes. I didn't know if I mentioned that. There's no kids allowed.
Okay.
We usually do ours starting around 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I know that's late, and literally the next day we are all feel like we've been hit by a truck because we're old, and then we stay out till 1:30 in the morning. But we don't have any kids, and so we usually do it around 8, so then people have time to get their kids in bed, mm-hmm. especially the host, you know.
Right.
And so then, you know, some of us have older kids and we don't get a babysitter, but we're able to do like the whole bedtime routine and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, and we just started it, I mean, I guess almost 5 years ago or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. I always have to think about when Melissa's youngest, how old her youngest is, because she was very pregnant at the first one. And, you know, I just wanted to have more time with some of these people. Mm-hmm. We didn't get to see them. Our worlds didn't overlap enough, and we knew that we loved them, and it was a really safe place for us to be. And so we just kind of invited all of them, and none of them knew each other. Erin and I were like we knew everybody, okay. But nobody knew everyone else.
See, that's interesting because I've thought about that, because I'm like, these people would be great. These people would be great, but they're not in that same circle.
And that's what was nice for us, because at the time, our friends Brad and Noel went to our church, but we had probably only known them about 6 months or a year, and we were getting to know them. And then our friends Brandon and Jen, he's a pastor, and then our other friends Melissa and Nate, at the time, he was a pastor as well. And so all different churches. And so we just thought, man, we like these people a lot. We think that they would love food and conversations. And so, you know, we just kind of made that together. You know, there are, at that time when we started this, there were other people that we were closer to in life. Mm-hmm. But for us, we kind of started it with the goal of like, hey, these are people we don't get to see. Let's do it once a month. So that's kind of how it happened.
I like that. And sometimes it's the people that, I was just actually interviewing another gal today earlier, and I was saying, I don't feel like you're one of my best friends. Like, we're not in this, like, best friend circle, but I feel like you're one of those people that I know, and I could call you if I needed anything, and you don't have to be in that best friend circle. You know what I mean? It's just, like, a different group, and I love that. Oh, Jen, speaking of Jen, so mm-hmm. I listened, of course, I've listened to her episodes, and I've read her books. So not all of them. I know she always talks about how she's like, there's like 7 books I wrote before these books.
Right.
But I've read 7, For the Love. And gosh, is there another newer one?
7, For the Love, and then Interrupted.
Interrupted. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So I've read all 3 of those.
Yes.
and interrupted, and seven is kind of like you finish reading the books and you're like, okay, I'm going to change this. I'm going to do this better. I'm going to minimalize my life and, you know.
I know. I always told her that Interrupted was just one of my most favorite books I ever read. And that one just re-released, I think, in the last year.
I'm glad I read the re-release, yeah.
Yes, I'm glad they did because it needed to get the attention it deserved, yeah. Uh-huh.
No, they're all really good. I'd actually probably go back and reread Interrupted, probably.
And then I read For the Love on an Airplane going to Indianapolis, actually, this last fall, and was crying. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Yeah, I liked it a lot. Yeah. So, well, and the funny thing is, so I do a MOPS here in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they had the MOPS convention, like the big one here.
Uh-huh.
And Jen was talking.
She was.
I couldn't do the whole weekend though. I forget what was going on. I had work obligations. Stuff was happening. I couldn't do it though. Oh, I had a big race that weekend that I was working or whatever. But anyway, I kept saying, I'm just going to like show up at the hotel for her talk and just like sneak in for an hour. And I didn't even wasn't even able to do that. But I kept telling the girls at my table at MOPS, I kept saying, don't judge me if I didn't like do the whole weekend and I just show up for an hour for Jen's talk.
That's hilarious.
But a big group of them went. And I think it's in Milwaukee this year.
It is. I saw that. I actually went over there and saw her speak and I saw them announce that.
Oh, you did?
I did, because we were at the hotel right across the street for the Influence.
Okay, okay.
And so Lisa Jo Baker, another friend of mine, we walked over to hear Jen, and so, yeah.
So, and I probably was already listening to you then, because that was September, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man, I could have met you.
There you go. I was there in your city.
Man. So, okay, I want to talk about, you do these episodes. You did the Christmas episode and you did the Mother's Day show where you bring on all these companies that are creating good, great products, but they're also doing really good things.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have some of your favorites from those shows?
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to think about that offhand. I love all of these things. Of course, you know, I'm always talking about Noonday Collection.
Right.
I love everything Noonday does. And so I'm a big fan of them. I've actually met some of their artisans in Uganda, and then I met some of them at their conference a couple years ago. And so I'm just proud of the work that they're doing.
So can you tell everybody what they do?
Yeah. Noonday, they are a jewelry company. And so they have artisans around the world that they buy their jewelry from. And so they're creating sustainable living and wages from them. And so what I didn't know about Noonday previously, like 2 years ago, is I thought that all these artisans worked for Noonday, but they don't. They're running their own businesses, being their own businesswomen, and Noonday buys from them. And so that's how they do. And Noonday has a model of, like, you or I could sign up to be a Noonday distributor. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's ambassador. Mm-hmm. Ambassador. Mm-hmm. And then you host parties and you sell jewelry. And so it's great. Like, I have my ambassador is Krista. And so anytime I need something, I get something from Krista. And so I just love all that they're doing, and the CEO, Jessica, is one of my great friends, so I'm a fan of them.
Did you know her before she founded Noonday?
I did. I was at the very first Noonday show.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's exciting. She came to my house pretty soon after I had moved here, I think. We were in, like, this little mom's group. My friend Kimberly connected us, and so, yeah, I have seen her journey through that, and it's been amazing to watch.
So did you see, like, you kind of saw her from the beginning, like, her vision for what she wanted to do and then create the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I would say we're much better friends now than we were when she first started, but it's been really fun to watch that happen. I mean, it started as a fundraiser for her own adoption, for her son, Jack.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so she was going to do this, you know, sell jewelry a couple times, and it turned into just this company, you know, and it's growing quickly. And I mean, it's a beautiful place. She's been one of my biggest encouragers as well in my life about working as well. She's a working mom, she's CEO, you know, and so she's been someone who's really encouraged me a lot in my journey with that, because this season looks different for me than I've ever been in before. And so she's just great. I love her.
So you stayed home with your kids when they were really little, right?
I did. I stayed home and worked, you know, random jobs.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was at our kids' preschool, at our church, some, and, you know, just random things until they were all in school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because I've heard you say a few times too, like, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now if I had toddlers running around my ankles and yeah. or whatever. And I've thought about that a few times when I was launching this podcast. I was thinking, maybe I should wait because I am at that very, you know, crazy no sleep stage of kids.
Yeah, I get it. For me, just the way our family has always been set up, right? I couldn't have relied on Aaron to help me that much, if that makes sense.
He travels so much.
Yeah, because he travels so much. Yeah. And so, not that he is not reliable mm-hmm. or not a good dad or whatever. It's just our family structure was never set up. Mm-hmm. Our family structure was set up for there to be a parent at home.
Right.
And that was me. And so, I couldn't have done that. And so, I'm grateful for those years I had with those kids. And I'm grateful now that I get to pour myself into this.
But it's funny because your kids are gone, what, like 8 to 3?
Mm-hmm.
And you think, oh my gosh, I have this day, I can get this, and this done. But man, 3 o'clock gets here pretty soon, doesn't it?
Oh, so soon. Oh my gosh. Yes, so soon. It's crazy.
And you say you like to kind of turn everything off and focus on being mom once they're home.
I do. They get home around 3:15, 3:25, something like that. And so I usually will say, hi, how's your day? Chat for a little bit. And then a couple days a week, I work till 4:30. But most days I'm off, but I will sometimes say, okay, get your snack, go outside. I'm going to work till 4:30 and then I'm done.
Well, and if you live in Austin, you can probably just go outside and play almost any day, right?
Exactly. It's so beautiful right now. Yeah.
Oh, we have a rainy day here. So, okay, I want to go back to any other companies that you so love from the show.
So I said Noonday. Yep. I love Beauty Counter. It's where I get all my makeup from. Okay. They're, you know, small business, as in they run their own business, but it's like very good for your skin, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. Let me see what else I love. I love my Root Collective shoes. I'm a big fan of them. I have a couple of pairs of shoes from them and they're just amazing.
What do they do?
They're produced in Guatemala. Okay. And so they're like handcrafted by a man named Otto, which is really cool. And so, you know, they allow women to provide for their families as well. So I love those Root Collective shoes and they're kind of like the shoes that you could just put on all the time.
I mean, I need to look that up.
They're like really good.
Didn't you recently, my sister told me this, because I told my sister, I was like, I'm interviewing Jamie Ivy today, if you have anything to ask her.
I love that.
Right? Yeah. She wants you to know that she's ordered like 9 million books that you've talked about.
Love that. Yes.
But she, didn't you go to Africa? Where did you go? With a shoe company, right? Soul?
I went to Uganda last year with Soul Hope.
Okay. What do they do?
So Soul Hope, they are an organization on the ground in Uganda, and they are dealing with jiggers. And jiggers are not chiggers, like, you know, it's J-I-G-G-E-R-S. And if you just Google jiggers, you're going to see some, like, really grotesque videos. They're almost like these flea-like bugs who bury themselves in your feet, and they cause a lot of damage. And so it's this weird thing in Uganda, as in it's common, but it's very looked down upon. So, like, I was there last year, and I asked a woman. She actually is one of the partners and artisans that Noonday works with. And I was like, have you ever had a jigger? And she looked at me like I was crazy. She's like, well, of course, but I just took it out. But then you have, you know, poverty or elderly people who they don't either have the knowledge or the care to take them out. And so then it becomes this infestation. And so they're on the ground educating people about them, removing and providing shoes. And so they do great work there in Uganda.
Okay, so was that the first international trip that you've taken, you know, without your kids or since they've been here?
It wasn't my first international trip I've taken without them. It was my first time to anywhere in Africa.
Okay.
So that was exciting. But no, Aaron and I travel quite often. Not quite often, but we try to get away without the kids once a year.
Do you get, like, anxious at all when you travel far away from them?
You know, I don't.
Yeah.
I did. The first time I left my kids, I was not left them, but internationally I flew to Haiti when this was way before our adoption. My youngest was just turning one. Mm-hmm. And that was a really monumental trip for me. I don't get anxious. If Aaron and I are together, the thought might cross my mind, like, this wouldn't be good if, you know, something happened to both of us.
Right.
But I'm really, I don't know. I don't get anxious. That's not one of my worries in life. There are thousands more. But I somehow, I think I'm just so excited to get away.
Uh-huh.
I don't worry.
So when you guys try to get away once a year, do you just do something, the two of you, or do you usually do something with friends as well?
We try to do something just the two of us for sure, at least once a year. I like that a lot, but we also do stuff with friends. Like this, we just bought a house, so our travel this year's a lot less. But we just did a little staycation in Austin recently, and it was just the two of us. And so
what
did
you do with your kids?
My parents came in and stayed with them.
That's so nice.
Yeah. So my parents, they haven't always been able to do that just with their jobs and stuff, but they can come in and stay with them. But, you know, my group of girlfriends, the ones that have older kids my age, we'll kind of just kind of spread kids around, you know?
Oh, my gosh. I'm excited for that phase.
Yeah, it's great.
I don't want to wish this phase away, but you can't do that with toddlers so much.
I know. It's hard.
Nobody wants to take on your 15-month-old.
I know.
But that's what I keep saying with my sisters, too. I'm like, when all of our kids are, you know, like 6+,
mm-hmm.
we can just swap, and then they all play and hang out. And
sure. Yeah.
Everybody loves to hang out with their cousins. So, okay, of this list, so you gave me a few. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to the show, and then I go to the show notes, and I'm like, I'm going to look for this. And then I try to get, you know, fun, different, unique Christmas gifts and things like that. The one thing, I don't even know if you'll remember this, the one thing I have bought for myself is this reclaimed palette wall clock.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Field Treasure Designs. Yeah.
Yep.
And I actually ended up buying two because the one I bought was a little bit smaller than what I wanted for the living room.
Yeah.
And so I haven't decided if I'm going to just like resell the smaller one or right now it's hanging in our bedroom. So,
They're great people. I met them this fall as well. I think I was in South Carolina, and they're just fabulous. So that's fun that you bought from them.
Well, yeah, and he sent me, you know, when I had to reorder, he sent me this like super nice personalized email. You know, I just love it that it doesn't seem big company.
Oh yeah,
you know?
It's not. It's like a husband and a wife.
Yeah,
working. Yeah, it's great.
And what's the company? What is the leather bags they've been sponsoring your show lately? Or Lily or.
Lily and Jade?
Lily Jade. Is that what it
is? Yes. Uh-huh. I've had a couple leather bags, but that's one. They're like, it's a diaper bag.
See, I've had my eye on that.
Okay. They're fabulous. It's a diaper bag, and clearly I do not need a diaper bag. You
right.
do. I don't. but it is the best computer bag I've ever had, mm-hmm. and I love it because it zips, and so traveling on an airplane with the computer and everything in there, I don't have to worry about stuff falling out. And it's leather, and it's beautiful, so I love mine a lot. Yeah.
And are they the ones that they give a bag for every bag spot? What do they? They have something, don't they?
Well, they all have something. I don't really know if they have
what they do.
What their give back model is.
Mm-hmm.
But Love 41, I've talked
to
them a lot.
Them too.
Yeah, Love 41, which I got a leather bag from them for this last Mother's Day show, which is like my bag where I take to baseball games or to the post office and just throw it full of stuff. But they actually give 100% of their profits back to Rwanda, which is crazy.
Okay.
But yeah, they have great stuff too.
The Lily Jade bag is the diaper bag though, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So, and it's, you use it as a computer bag. It's funny because I've, in my 4 years of being a mom, almost 4 years, I've always been on the hunt for the perfect diaper bag.
Mm.
And I've bought two, like one was used and one was a nice new one, and nothing is ever like exactly how I want it. So I have hope that this Lily Jade bag might be the one.
It just might pull through for you.
And as they get older, it transitions into a diaper bag / I throw my stuff in their two bag.
Which is the best.
Right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, are you reading any books right now?
Yeah, my reading is really, really slow right now. But the book I'm about to pick up is called Falling Free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by my friend Shannon Martin, which she's been on the Happy Hour before. And so it comes out, I think, August, September. I should know. Oh, it comes out September 20th. And the tagline says, "Rescued from the life I always wanted." And Shannon just has a really great story. And so I can't wait to dive into that and read that. And I'm about to read Wild in the Hollow by Amber Haynes.
Mm.
So those are both on my to-do list, on my to-read list right now.
I feel like you're super connected with all these women that are doing really cool, inspiring things, like writing books and starting organizations. How do you meet all these fun people?
I don't know. I have done a lot with the IF Gathering in the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've made a lot of friends there and met a lot of people doing great things there. I think that's probably one of the places I've met a lot of new friends. Shannon Martin. Where did I meet Shannon? I don't remember where I met Shannon, but we were at a conference together this last year, and so I met her there. And then Amber Haynes, I don't remember where I met her either. See, I don't even know.
But most of the women that you have on your show, are they people that you know personally beforehand?
You know, most of the people in the beginning, for sure. Like, I personally asked them. A lot of my friends joined, like my real life, everyday friends joined me. And then as I got going, I would get a lot of requests from, like, what do they call it? Publicists?
Oh, right.
Like, people that are releasing books and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that I am pretty choosy. I have right. the opportunity now to actually really pick who I want, what kind of voices I want to hear. I know some of them in like a kind of a working relationship type mm-hmm. thing. We've been at the same events. We do some of the same stuff. So, yeah, it's getting to be more like that. It's a lot of fun.
That's an interesting thing about being a podcast host, because you do get suggestions and requests and things like that, but you want to speak to the, you know, audience you've had a vision of speaking to.
Yeah,
and you want
your
show
yeah.
to be what you, you know, have envisioned it to be.
Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. I mean, like, in a couple of weeks, I'm interviewing Jessica Robertson, who is sister-in-law with Corey Robertson, who Corey, you know, the Duck Dynasty.
I listened to that episode.
Yeah, so Corey was on, and she's a friend of Jen's, and so I kind of got connected through her. And then we saw each other at IF, but I've never met Jessica, her sister. So that's going to be an interview that we've never even had a conversation before.
Is she on the show, too, the Duck Dynasty show?
I think so. I've seen it, like, once.
I know. I've actually never seen it.
And I confess that to Corey.
Like, I know you did.
I don't feel bad about that at all. We don't have cable. And
no, I remember that.
Yeah. So yeah. There's that. So
she didn't care.
She didn't care. I knew she wouldn't care. You know.
She's like, that's okay. Millions of other people watch it.
Exactly. She's not missing me, the one viewer that hasn't seen it. So.
Oh, yeah. That's too funny. And I remember you saying that was the one episode you were, like, kind of nervous about, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was. But it was great. She's fabulous.
So what podcast do you listen to?
Oh, let me get out my little phone here.
I saw your Instagram post. You know the one, Pat Flynn?
Mm-hmm.
Do you listen to him to get a lot of advice and things like that?
I listen to the ones that appeal to me.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
He puts out so many that don't really appeal right. to me, and they're so short that you can just pick and choose the ones you want. The ones that I listen to are like 6 minutes long or something.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I didn't know he had.
So it's not the long one, yeah.
Well, I used him a lot to, like, he had, like, video yes. tutorials of how to start a podcast, and that's basically the only way I knew how to do anything.
Me too, girl. Okay, I'm going to tell you some of my favorite podcasts these days. Number one, it's called The Story Team Weekly, and it's the story team from the Austin Stone, which is where we go to church, and they mm-hmm. put out a weekly podcast with just stories of people's lives being changed by Jesus. It's really great.
Okay.
I just started listening to Building a Story Brand with Donald Miller. In fact, I've only listened to two episodes, but it's very interesting. It's about marketing what you're doing and building your brand, and so that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I read his books years ago.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, let's see. Front Porch with the Fitzes. That's my friends Jessica Thompson and Elise Fitzpatrick.
Okay.
Which they're just hilarious. And I told her the other day that when I recommend her show, I always say you have to listen to three. Like, the first one, you're going to be confused. The second one, I think, why am I back for more? And then the third one, you're going to be laughing again.
Okay.
You know, so.
Are they friends? The girlfriends? Or
they are two siblings and a mom.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. I mean, I listen to so many more. Off Camera with Sam Jones is one of my favorite. Around the Table podcast, The Popcast,
mm-hmm.
Influence, Radio Lab, Hope Writers. I could tell you podcasts all day. Like 20. I don't listen to them all day. It's funny, but anytime I'm in the car, I have one on.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Do your kids kibosh it, though? Like, are they like, I don't want to listen to music?
They're not in the car with me a lot. I mean, remember, they're all at school. And right. so... I'm running errands during the day or something, I'm alone, which I know is really hard for you to believe or like imagine, but I'm alone a lot. It's crazy.
Well, I get to be alone in the car. Well, my younger one is young enough that I can listen to
yeah, for
anything.
Sure.
The
yeah.
bigger one is the one that's like, I want to listen to music. So I have to ask you, this is another thing my sister told me. Are you watching Nashville?
Yes.
I am too.
But I'll tell you this, just
Where
a little like... Like, so I went through this complete, like, binge on Nashville and caught up.
Okay.
Now I'm completely caught up.
Oh, you're caught up.
Yeah, but
I'm not caught up.
I watch it, I think to myself, I don't think I really like this show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone else is feeling that.
Well, there are a couple characters that kind of drive me crazy.
Well, don't let me just before you say anything that could get me in trouble. There is a character who actually lives out here, and she's like a friend of mine, like a friend of a friend. She's not, I'm not as close to her as I am.
Okay, I won't say anything.
But yeah, she plays it's a brand new character that's only been on there a couple times, but her husband was the one that went to the hospital for drinking or something.
Huh.
Are you caught up? Are you up to date?
No, I'm like early season three.
Oh, gracious. No, never mind. This
will not make a bit of sense to you. I'm talking about Scarlett. I'm sure she's a nice person. Her character just bothers me.
I know. Me too.
But no, I guess I would say I've been binge watching, but me binge watching, I've been watching it for probably 6 weeks, and I'm early season three.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah. So I mean, I binged, and then here I am, caught up. And honestly, if I never saw another one, I don't think I'd be missing out on it.
Do you feel like you have to finish, though, now? I mean, is it in the last season?
I have no idea. I mean, I will finish, but I don't watch a lot of TV, and I don't watch a lot of TV alone either, if that makes sense. And right now, Aaron's watching Friday Night Lights.
And you've watched that.
I've already seen it, but I enjoy every time I watch it with him. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if I've seen it. I could just go back and watch it again. Yeah, it's so good.
Well, and when I watched it, it was probably before I had kids, and I was working from home a little bit, so I would like turn it on and I'd do some work, so I would only kind of half pay attention. So I could totally go back and rewatch it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Enjoy it and not remember a lot of things that happened.
Definitely.
Oh, I love it. Well, we're closing in on an hour. I so appreciate you doing this. It's so exciting for me.
Oh, so fun.
Inspired me to start my show in the first place.
I am honored and glad that I can inspire you, and I am always happy to see more women podcasting. So, way to go.
Oh, thanks, Jamie. Thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. That wraps up episode 13. Thank you, Jamie, for coming on the show. And next week, we will be talking with my friend, Erica Serra. Super excited about that episode. I might have to break it up into two episodes because we talked for so long. So you just wait and see. We might have a surprise episode drop on Thursday and a Friday episode next week. So we're just going to see how that plays out. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next week.